Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than sitting next to a fatty boombaladdy on a flight. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com, clicking chat and listen live. If you are listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, click chat, and go. Phone number to call in, 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Believe it or not, I am joined live in person by Pip Helix.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, we all have our crosses to go.
Yes, to bear.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, crosses to go.
I don't know. We all have our crosses to Jesus. I don't know. Makes sense.
You don't know what you're talking
about.
You
know what we mean.
Yeah,
She's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Joe's not. He will be.
Yeah.
Joe promises he'll be here. On the show tonight, a man who's an airline because he was smushed by a biggin on a flight.
A biggin.
We play In the Barrel. Haven't done that in a while.
No. Prepare thyself.
I shall.
Yeah.
Hope I can do a good job. We don't play. We're going to answer a cyber question from a fan. A Girl Scout wants to be a Boy Scout. Home Depot stops selling a mask that is too scary. And we'll check in with the gift that keeps on giving, Ann friggin' Jackson. What?
If I only had put that as one of the categories, how many times is Davin going to say, Ann friggin' Jackson?
I've never said it before, but you should pay attention. You never know. And those who pay attention to my personal Facebook page know I had an impromptu game on Saturday night of Mr. Davin's.
Yes.
You never know when an Ann Jackson game is going to break out. Much to get to. Last week I was in a bad mood. This week I'm still in a bad mood. Oh. Pip's in a worse mood.
Yay.
But Joe might be in a good mood, but he's not here.
I know. Joe might actually be the saving grace of enthusiasm on the show tonight.
He's got some good news, so we'll let Joe tell that. We can only hope he has stayed out of humanity's way since that news, so he's still in a good mood.
Yes.
So, we'll try to get to that tonight if Joe isn't too tardy. But Pip, life's been kicking you in the old shitter, eh?
I got chickened from the dream job.
I thought this was the dream job.
I'm sorry. Yes, the day job.
Isn't this the dream job?
Yes, this is the dream.
I mean, this is the dream.
When I was a little girl, I said, you know what? I hope I spend at least once a week in the basement with my friends doing a show. Yay!
I don't think you said it like that.
No, I did.
I think you're being a little dishonest.
I think maybe that's what kept us here for a while, because I wished it.
Well, isn't doing radio with your friends more of a dream than, like, working for the man?
Absolutely.
So this would be the dream job.
Yeah, it would be the dream job. It's just that the dream job that pays
for it to be a dream job, this would pay better.
Yes, it would.
This would be the dream job.
This is the step to the dream
job. So until I say, don't fucking come back, which could happen.
Please, not this week. No, not this week. I can't take
heart.
Another.
I have a heart. So until that happens, you still are in play for the dream job.
Right.
You just had a day program that you were happy at.
I was. Imagine that. After
yes.
all the years of being unhappy, I was happy.
I will say your Facebook was much more boring.
I'm sure. And
yeah. And you didn't have as much time to devote to it.
No, I didn't.
No, with kittens all across the world were feeling left out because they didn't make onto your page in picture form.
Yeah, kitten memes were not being shared to their ultimate fullness.
No, see, I'm trying to put the positive spin on this.
Yeah.
So you had just gone away to a convention where they dragged you away from your dream job.
Well, yeah. It's part of what you have to do.
Well, if you have a job,
yes.
You have to do.
Yes.
If you don't have a job, you don't got to go.
No, but if I keep a job in the same industry, I'll still have to do this.
But if you don't, it was a waste of time.
Right.
Right.
Yes,
So you go away for a week of mayhem and fun and learning.
Well, 2.5 days.
Oh.
Seemed longer to you.
It
but
really did because shit wasn't getting done.
the worst Wi-Fi in the world. Oh, my God. And the perversity is that now I'm undercover with this dream job at the day job, and I'm surrounded by people from the day job at this conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem I was having is I had some work to do for the show. And for some perverse reason, the Wi-Fi in the actual rooms was that much slower or less powerful than the Wi-Fi downstairs in their meeting rooms.
Have you stayed at this hotel before?
No.
Oh, they put you in a shitty hotel.
No, no, it actually was nice.
No, it's not nice if the Wi-Fi doesn't work.
The Wi-Fi worked for everything but loading these files.
Oh, so you could watch porn.
Of course. Okay. How do you think I you know, quelled all that angst again from not being able to do what I was supposed to?
When Pip left that room, it was glistening!
I wouldn't have brought a black light in there, let's just say that. but the thing was that it was...
Did somebody have a sandwich of tuna in here?
Lots of them. So I had to bring my laptop down onto the convention floor, and during a speech, I was actually sitting there tappity-tapping and uploading files to get it done.
As well it should be.
Oh, with my boss sitting next to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where I had to go. That's where I had to get to.
Couldn't you be in that meeting room after the meeting?
I was. And then he came in and sat down right next to me.
Yeah, but he didn't know what you were doing. Oh, but you weren't doing it during the meeting.
I was not doing it during the meeting.
Oh, okay.
I was doing it in between.
Oh, then he doesn't know what you're doing. Sessions. You might just be stealing music or something. You don't know.
But it was just really awkward. So
you should ask him if he likes your talk radio.
Yeah, now it won't matter. No, actually it would because anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we go to this conference, mm-hmm. and I'm actually there with my boss and my previous coworker from another day job, and everything's going swimmingly.
Everything seems good.
Everything seems really good. We're getting along.
Are
we're
feasting
chatting
on mead and turkey legs? And ale?
Huzzah! Yeah.
Everything's good. Having a good time.
Actually, maybe me yelling huzzah at, you know, intervals was probably not a good thing to
do. I'm pro-huzzah. I would never hold that against you.
Yeah, I was, you're pro-huzzah? I didn't know that you were
not
that way political.
Not
pro-Hezbollah. Oh, huzzah, okay. Yes, yes, yes. The medieval times kind of huzzah, not the Hezbollah type, okay. Oh,
yes.
So there I was doing stuff for the show, but everything's going fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, and, you know, we go back to work, everything's cool. And then
everybody's loving the Pip Helix.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Even I was tolerating the Pip Helix.
You were.
Frustrated, but, you know, we're making do.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was, trust me.
I'm going to Diva Donny, which is, you know, that is what that is.
I know. I know it was difficult, but it was, I was doing everything I could to get this stuff
to
work.
No, I believed you were efforting.
Oh, my God.
I believe there was an effort.
Oh, it was unbelievable, you know. So then I finally got that done. But the thing was, it was difficult. And there was a strangeness going on with the files. I don't know. Still don't know why it didn't work.
On iTunes, you're talking
about? Yeah, I redid it all over again, and that finally made it work. But it took...
Uploading involves precision.
Not being like herky-jerky with the signal, because that doesn't seem, you know, that doesn't help. But
well, no, you would upload the original one when you were sick. You were at home.
Yeah, and then that didn't work. Yeah. And then trying to fix it, yeah. No. So I went to work the next day. Everything was fine. Then I got this virus for 2 days. That was why I wasn't here last week.
That's what she says.
Yeah, I was. I went to the doctor.
So that happens when you bang the bellhop?
You know what? He looked perfectly healthy.
They all do.
Yeah, I guess that was that little cough. But I thought that was a cough. I thought that was a cough of ecstasy, not a cough of...
you ever watch porn? Sometimes illness. They do cough when they're done coming. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes they come. I mean, they cough.
No, they always come.
No, they don't always come.
They cough? No, they don't?
No, I think sometimes, yeah, it's like weird. You watch these chicks and they cough.
That's so weird.
It's almost like being a porn star isn't like the most healthy living.
Yeah, but does it shoot all the way in that far that gets caught in the throat?
I don't know.
Maybe that was from another shoot, if you know what I'm saying. So I was just, I was out sick, and then the next day I went in, coming to my office.
Well, you know, coming to my office, I want to just tell you how thrilled I am that you toughed it out through your illness. I'm so sorry you caught something. You're doing a great job.
Well, no, I mean, this guy would say, you know, come on in, let's talk about this or something. He would often have meetings with people and close the door, and it didn't always mean that you were getting canned. It was just like, because it's close quarters.
Right.
So it was just like more like a privacy sort of thing. I really wasn't expecting him to break up with me.
Why? Why would he break up with you? You're adorable.
Well, actually, he said that, you know, it was a tough decision.
Did he say it wasn't you, it was him?
Almost.
Really?
Yes. I got this. I mean, and the thing that was really frustrating is that he could not put his finger on exactly what it was that he thought wasn't working, but he had a feeling it wasn't going to
work. You know,
the
last woman in your position had already blown me, Pip. It's been a month and a half. I thought I made it clear when you took the job that there would be some extra duties that you would have to take on.
I thought that you were just airing it out. I didn't think that that's what you meant.
That's the problem. You're not being able to read between the lines. We're going to have to replace you with somebody who will read between the lines and the sheets. We're sorry, Ms. Helix. It's just not working out.
Oh, usually I'm really good at picking up on those signals.
Yeah, well, you had your head on up your own ass. You don't see a man wanting a blowjob when you see it.
Well, yeah, tapping it on my forehead is usually the first signal, but
some of us are more subtle.
Yeah.
Sometimes we stick it right in your ass.
And now I'm not going to blow that.
You want your job, don't you?
Not afterwards.
And this is why we need to look elsewhere. So yeah. He calls you in.
Yeah.
You had no suspicion.
No.
Blindsided. That sucks.
Totally, totally blindsided. He could have slapped me in the face with a fish, and I would have been less surprised.
Ooh. Ooh. I like that. That might be something we have to employ on this show at some point.
A trout.
You're getting picky, but...
I know. I was just kind of, like, really trying to put the vision
out
there.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Yeah, it was... No, at least not this week. I've had enough.
No, not this week.
Okay.
I don't have a fish on hand, and the ones I have are alive. I'm not smacking you.
You're not smacking me in the face with one of your pets?
No, I'm not. You shan't be hit with a clown loach.
Poor little baby.
Fish is like almost 20 years old, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got some old fish.
So some of them made the great tank.
Some of them, at least one problem. Of them, has been with me since Garfield. My apartment in Garfield.
Yeah, of course I know.
You remember we had the 30-gallon tall there?
Yeah.
So it was to Garfield, to Hackensack, to here.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That is really an old fish. Yeah, I didn't know that they could live that long.
Apparently they can. When you just give him love.
When you snuggle it on your pillow and he flops around. I don't think he's enjoying that.
Mm. Yeah. I don't understand him. I mean, his mouth opens and closes quickly when that happens. But
but that's not ecstasy either.
Oh.
Well.
No. No, yeah. So we got some old fish. So,
yeah, you do. But, I mean, you had that really unfortunate situation with the other fish tank that you had lost a bunch of fish.
Right, the other tank.
Yeah.
And that tank is not really recovered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten fish, and it's ebbed and flowed.
Oh.
But it hasn't really recovered, and the wife doesn't really want me to get more, so.
Oh, okay, so yeah.
It's not thriving. I mean, I have fish, but they're not thriving. But in that other tank.
Those are where the oldie but goodies are.
Yeah, I got some. Let's see. 15, yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah, probably close to 20 years.
Lisa says geriatric guppies.
No, guppies don't live that long.
No, they don't. But what is the type that this is?
This is a clown loach.
Clown loach.
Yeah, they're orange and black. They have orange and black stripes.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, curly.
Oh, yeah, he's old.
Yeah, and probably that tricolor shark is, you know, he's very old, too. Yeah. I haven't had him that long. Had him since Hackensack, but that's the big silverfish.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to jinx it.
But. No. But that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, you've had fish that live longer than some of my cats, and they're,
yeah,
you know.
I've had fish that have lived longer than my cats.
That's amazing. Huh. Who knew they were, like, in parrot, years? You know, parrots live a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
Certain parrots can outlive their owners by,
that's
like...
a problem for a parrot.
It's like, decades.
Yeah,
it's
not good.
Yeah,
for a parrot.
Yeah. So...
So, you're blindsided.
Yeah.
Because you thought things were going well.
I thought things were going great.
You thought you were doing your job efficiently.
I did.
There had been no indication that you needed to pick up the pace.
No.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
That's a problem. Because if you're a good leader...
Mm-hmm.
You need to figure out how to communicate that things are not where they need to be, and you need to get them there. And if need be, you help get them there.
Well, here's the thing is that he's very divided up into all these different places. And so I had said, you know, I was having a little trouble understanding this one project. And so we kept trying. I kept saying, you know, it would be good if we could talk about this and work on it and things. And it never happened. I never got.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
I never got trained by him. I got trained by somebody who is on a parallel level in the company. But because she had been previously doing some of these duties while they were waiting for somebody to fill my position.
My wife had that issue. She was trained being a level two tech at her job, and she wasn't getting trained.
Yeah,
because they kept on pulling her away to do something else, so she never really got the proper training she was supposed to get. Fortunately for her, they put her in a new position where she's thriving again. But it's very frustrating when you know what you have to do and how you have to get there, but you're not given the tools to get there. It's very frustrating.
Well, I think, I mean, I felt that things were going well because I would be able to, like, he would throw something at me and I would say, well, you know, I'm familiar with this. I don't know exactly how you do it here. But then I would go back and I know the software. I know how to backtrack and go, oh, that's how they did it last time. That's how you do it here. And I did that.
So you were training yourself?
I was. I was following suit with what had been done previously.
And you felt it was in a fairly rapid manner?
Fair enough, yeah.
And he never said, this isn't what I want?
No.
Okay.
So he even said that he was really torn and he was sorry because maybe it was something that he had communicated and that
Yes, it is.
And when he put this position together that he may have made a mistake because he wanted more emphasis on this thing and not that thing, and it's like, well,
now that you're finally how long were you there?
3 months.
Fine. Now that we've spent a quarter together,
yeah.
And you're communicating this to me. Why don't you let me see, now that I know what your expectations are, give me another quarter to achieve your goals? This is a conversation that we should have at the end of a quarter.
And here's the rub.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, I don't completely know how to explain this without doxing myself.
What now?
Doxing? Doxing myself. Giving up what I do.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to have to beg your indulgence. You'll have to believe me that I had a deadline that I have to meet to find another job in the industry, or else I can't have another job in the industry.
Why, are there certain certifications?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so
it would run out.
It's a good
out.
Thing I'm here to explain to the folks.
Thank God.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. So,
welcome, listeners.
It would run out, and if I'm not employed in the same industry, I can't re-up.
It's just over? Game over? Go fuck yourself? All those years of experience?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Yes, unless I have to go back and start all over again.
How long does that take?
I would have to move and go to a different state. So it'll just.
What's the window?
7 days.
That's absurd.
It is. It is.
Listen, not that many people want your job. Not that many people.
No, they don't. And there's not that many people
who can do your job
around that can do
it. Apparently, you're not even one of these people that could do your job.
According to him,
that makes no sense.
It's the craziest loophole.
It's almost like there's a bureaucracy at play or something.
Well, there is.
Oh, you know? Really?
Yes.
Oh, it's one of those.
It's a peculiar thing.
I'm going to do that to Joe next time he pisses me off.
You got 7 days to straighten up your shit.
Yeah, you got 7 days, Joe. That's it. Otherwise, you can't do any more internet radio. You have to start at the beginning. That's absurd. That's a lot of. So if somebody's in your position or a position gets phased out, you got to hope there's another position opening.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. Are there position openings all the time in your fields?
No, there are not. However, here's the good part, if there's a good part.
There's always a good part, like when this is over.
there is an opening.
That's always good.
And I'm not talking about that kind of opening.
That's not as good.
Okay. There is an opening. It's not exactly what I wanted, but it's something that I can do in my sleep.
You're going to be bored again.
No. The problem was never boredom.
Job that you had previously?
No. It's a different aspect. It's a different aspect
than cleaning
field.
Toilets again. You're back to being a custodian.
No. But listen, if I could find one of those jobs in 7 days to get my foot in the door, I would.
You can clean up around here. Some shit you could do.
Please, I'm not even cleaning my own house. You think I'm cleaning here?
Yeah, somebody should.
So
I'm not happy with our housekeepers. You can.
Here's the thing.
Yeah,
is
fine.
That that, yeah, Lisa said, if I had to move out to another state, that's going to make commuting for the show a real challenge.
No,
yeah.
She can move here. Move to this state.
Into this house.
If need be.
I'll live down here.
Why not? Love to have you.
So, you say that now. Mm. So this, my boss, because he feels like he wants to help me because he's very sensitive to this issue. He knows
he's very sensitive to being a douchebag.
Well, no, he was torn. But the thing
he failed. He failed. It was a failure of leadership. I know failures of leadership. I have failed.
I'm going to let that hang in the air there.
No, listen, I've failed on occasion. I've been failed by people.
Yeah,
it's
both.
A failure of leadership. More often than not, I'm failed by people because I've learned how to communicate what I need done.
Right.
It just
right.
doesn't get done.
Yeah.
He did not communicate.
No.
He gave you a quarter. He was with you a way where he could have pulled you aside and go, listen, this is what I'm thinking in between such and such. Let's get our heads together so we can get it right for the next quarter. Otherwise, unfortunately, he had that. He could have done that.
I know. But
unless he's just bringing in the hussy he wants to bang.
No. But we discussed this. We sat down like adults and we discussed all this. The thing is, he said, look, I hear what you're saying about all that, and I recognize where I dropped the ball on certain things. But the thing is, you know, I would be willing to do that. Let's extend your probation for a month, 2 months. I can't promise you at the end of that time period I'm going to feel any differently, and this other opportunity will have gone away.
So what happens if you don't get that opportunity? Can you go back and get the probation?
I think that if I don't get the other position, mm-hmm. then we'll have to talk. I mean, he's offered to help me out, like pay me a minimal amount so that I can still like kind of pretend to have my foot in the door so that the clock on the 7 days.
So he doesn't really want to train you?
No, I think that if it was that there were opportunities all the time, and if 2 months down the road he still felt the same way, you know, and I could just walk, it's this catch where I have this very, very tiny window, and
is it a pay cut, pay raise?
This will be a pay cut.
And you were just taking a pay cut?
Yep. Yep. Mm. Yeah, that's how it's going for the
And is
Helix.
It
going
to be like crazy hours like the no. last job was?
No.
No, okay.
It won't.
Oh, good, so I can bother you.
No.
I will.
Not at work, no. No,
no not at work.
No.
After work, get shit done.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, it won't be insane like the other one. But that's part of the thing is taking the pay cut so that I can have a life after hours.
Right.
And not be so stressed. But the thing is, I can do this job. This is what, while we were at the conference, unbeknownst to me, he was networking with the guy at the other position and talking me up to him.
Oh, that was kind of nice, I guess.
It was weird, but the day after I got told I was being let go, I already had an interview with the other guy.
It's like he wants to make himself feel better for not sucking.
Yes. He's trying to mitigate the damage he's done to my career.
Yeah, to your life.
To my life.
Yeah, because you need the bennies.
Totally. Totally. I mean, Mr. Hillock had cancer twice. I can't go without health insurance. I cannot.
You can't go a week without going to the doctor.
Well, I mean, you know, I would be it would be me and AIDS cat and with broth in the room. But no, I need to have that. You know,
yeah.
That's very
yeah.
important. Need to have that umbrella. So had a second interview this morning. And these people are in a position where they have to fill this position really quickly because there's a woman retiring and they can't not have somebody in this position because that they have to have a person in that position. I'll just put it that way. So, the thing is that, I'm sitting at this interview. The first meeting was a joke because they're desperate. I'm desperate. We both know it. It was,
why don't we fuck?
It was kind of like two people
last
sitting
call,
in
2
a bar, 3 a.m., looking at each other and going,
you wanna?
Well, and trying to play hard to get about it.
Oh, well, that's just stupid.
You know, that's just
listen. We both we're in neither one's ideal choice. Let's just fucking see. We can learn to like each other.
You know, at least for tonight,
right?
Yeah. So, and I had another one of those meetings this morning.
And they still seem to want to bang you.
Well, you know what? Now it was three guys talking about banging me.
I like this job.
So we'll see. I'm on pins and needles.
Yeah, you'll get it, though. You come across well.
I interview well. Now let's hope I can actually, like, perform well enough that there's somebody
else
going.
You said you could do the job.
I can.
And they need somebody.
They do.
And how many people are going to do that job?
Nobody wants to do this job.
So you'll do the job.
Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, this is starting to sound dirty.
Yeah, you'll do the job. You'll be fine.
I'll do the job.
And then in a couple months, I'll say, you got to leave the job. I got a fucking radio offer. Leave the fucking job.
I know, right?
Robert Davi isn't working out.
You know what? If it came that way, and you know, it was something that we could live on, it would be like, oh, I wouldn't feel bad about like jumping ship. The thing is, it's like, I need to be on the ship right now, please, can I board the ship?
I was with my family last night, and you know, they brought up the radio. I really didn't want to talk about it because I'm just not in a fucking mood.
Right.
I'm still pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, about the shit. Like, yeah, you know, and I explained the situation, like some guy who was like, and I explained some Bond villain from the 80s. Robert Davi, and my sister and my brother are like, oh, I know who that is. Do you?
Shut up!
Do you?
don't be talking about how you know who he is.
Yeah, he's going to be dead soon. Who cares what you know? Just not in the mood.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not in the mood.
I can't understand how any station would want to have that many hours of one person.
Because you know what? Because I think the company that syndicates our show, I think they only have so much amount of money. They used to be the number two syndicator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they still might be, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they only have so much amount of money, and it costs money to develop a show
to do it
properly.
Right.
So they're just going to risk losing a fill, which is, you know.
You know, it's sort of like dipping into your principal. You know, yeah. Instead of
it's a downward spiral.
Only spending with your interest,
it's a downward spiral. Yeah. You lost two of your shows.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, you got some of your people who listen to the show in your company pushing you to try something different. You know, this conservative talk shit isn't going to work forever.
No,
I mean, because there's people that, like I said, there are people that are better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to get into that
right
again. But I do want to say, remember the point that I made last week about entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And everything
yes.
being recycled. So what happens this week? What are they bringing back? The Gong Show?
What?
The Gong Show and Dynasty.
Oh, I saw that Dynasty. I'm like, what?
Which I call the Trumps with more morals.
With more morals, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah.
But I mean, it just goes, it's like they've given up.
Well, it's really, I hate to use biblical references, but everybody understands them. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah on television. And I'm not saying, let's have wholesome programming, but really, all we want to see is degradation and filth.
I don't even care. I don't even care about that, because I know what society is, and yes, they do.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you brought back MacGyver. I mean, what's next? The A-Team? I mean, They did the movie, yeah. The A-Team.
I know. Somebody's hearing you.
It's just like, stop.
Stop.
There's new things you could be doing. That's why HBO kicks your ass.
They don't want to try anything new. Lisa says the new Kardashians. There must be another family out there that's just as sick and twisted and big-butted as them.
Glad you bring up the Kardashians.
How are you?
I was having a bad day yesterday with impressions.
Oh.
Not like voices like Joe does.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what do you mean? Impressions like that people give?
Me making an impression on people.
Oh, all right.
I don't know if you've ever had one of those. I had one.
Oh, yeah.
So I walk into the bank, and one teller is talking to the other. I go to this bank all the time. One teller is talking to the other teller about how the Kardashians, you know, how Kim Kardashian got robbed in Paris of $10 million.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I don't even know why I joined in. I just sort of made my deposits and gone. I'm just like, eh. Like, she earned that money.
On her back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't
mean to slut shame.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I did it.
And I'm like, yeah, and Kanye left the concert early. What about the people that are watching the concert? And she's like, oh, my friends were there, and everybody was just worried about North and everything. There's still people. I'm like, ugh.
Oh,
you but know, you know what? Who the hell fuck travels with $10 million worth of jewels and shit? It's just stupid.
Well, these people have to make an impression. Their commodity is showing you how much they have, and you should want it, so you'll buy things. And then they get to endorse things.
No, the companies give them jewels and shit.
I know they do, but they so that they will wear the
right,
stuff
so
that it has a cachet, and you want it.
And then one teller goes, all right, let's get this done. I think I'd made a very bad impression. But and usually I'm more sympathetic, and I don't hate the Kardashians.
Yeah.
But it's just like, really? Why the fuck are we talking about this? Who cares? Nobody was hurt. If somebody was hurt, I'd be commended. She was tied up. She gave up the money for a change. The camera crew wasn't there. Who the fuck cares?
She's got no talent.
But
it is interesting to have somebody that is notorious for whatever reason get robbed to the tune of that much money.
Yeah, but
it's still interesting.
But I even said other people are going through much worse things that we don't hear about.
Oh yeah,
she'll be fine. That money.
But you know what? If somebody broke into your hotel room and tied you up, and
nobody would
in the
give
tub,
a shit. It wouldn't be news. I would tell you guys here. We'd get a bit out of it,
yeah.
And that would be the end of
we'd
it.
Get a bit.
We'd get a bit out of it. I post it on Facebook. I get a bunch of likes, and that's the end. Everybody goes on with their day. It's not news.
Oh no, but it's a human interest story.
Is it?
It is. No. It is. Listen, you know what?
All right. First of all, you're calling the Kardashians human.
I went there. Yes.
Are you interested anymore in them?
Not really.
Okay, so it's not a human interest story.
No, well,
it's a human disinterested story.
There's so many people that are interested in
that. No, you know what? I bring up the Kardashians every show, and I say people, you know, a lot of people are heroes. And they go, ooh, boo, but they don't admit it.
No, yeah,
but they're all watching them, and then I make fun of the Kardashians, like, ooh, so like, oh, we hate them. Oh, but don't make fun of them. Fuck you, people. At it.
I know. They're polarizing. But
they're not polarizing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. No, because they don't matter. They should not matter enough.
They shouldn't. But you know that we have the cult of celebrity in this country so bad.
Because we're a bunch of morons.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying it's true. The people have always slobbered over people who they looked up to, whether they were worthy of that or not. But there's always been people. There've been.
You know what? When it's Jackie O, I get it. When it's Princess Diana, I get it.
Even still, people could make the case, what the hell did they do?
They banged somebody important.
I would venture to say that both of those women had important contributions besides just banging their husbands.
Yes.
However.
They did things.
Yes, they did.
You know, if people said, you know who I respect, Kris Jenner, I would go fine. She seems to be a good businesswoman. She keeps it all together with that shitstorm of a family that she pimps out.
She pimps out.
Right.
Thank you.
But yeah. But you know what? Well, you know, she's really a good businesswoman. Okay.
Okay.
She seems to be managing these girls and making these bunch of zeros into something.
She monetized her children.
Yeah, fine.
There you go.
Fine. I can recognize a talent of whoring out her children. I can recognize, well, Kris Jenner's someone to look up to. Not really. But more so than Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
No, who I don't even hate.
She's a big nothing, though.
I don't even hate her.
I have not been able to catch up with this. I'm going to make myself sound immensely old right now. But I haven't been able to catch up with the zeitgeist that big butts are good. Because I was beaten, not literally physically, but I mean like beaten up for having a big butt in high school. And all of a sudden that's like a big trophy.
Well, you gotta
no
hang
one
out.
Was.
Yeah, but if you notice who they're banging, they're all banging black guys, so it makes sense.
I guess
Courtney is the only one who hasn't been, well, that we've seen with a black guy.
We don't know.
And she doesn't have the big butt that her sisters have.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Everybody else is banging black guys. Caitlyn's banging black guys. Everybody's banging black guys.
Is she banging black guys?
I don't know. But Rob is now dating a black woman who has a huge ass.
That's ginormous.
That's a show. Listen, my point was. I just felt like I made a bad impression. I felt bad about it
because
I'm usually more sympathetic, but I just can't. I'm done.
I know.
We go to my sister-in-law's last night for Rosh Hashanah dinner, New Year's. Happy New Year, Jews. Happy New Year, Jews.
Were you allowed to watch television at any point or no? Is this the sister-in-law? the TV monitor while you were on vacation?
Oh, funny. Yeah, she was there, but not her house. Yeah. Funny, I forgot about that. Very good. So, all right. So the guy who used to date TV monitor,
okay,
but still lives with TV monitor, is seeing somebody new.
Oh,
everybody's cool with it. So they brought her because, like, ex boyfriend is very close with other brother and sister in law.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
when you're with the family, it's
a weird dynamic. So this is the first time meeting her. And I didn't realize people were being on their best behavior initially.
you discern no difference?
Like, Myrtle Beach came up, because that's where I was, which we'll get to. And she said, like, she had a really bad impression of Myrtle Beach, because when she was 19, a group of 16-year-old boys said, "Show me your tits," or something, on the street.
So the whole town is suspect because of this?
Right, right. So, you know, my brother-in-law and her boyfriend, you know, are like, "Oh, that was terrible. Hell, that was terrible." I'm thinking, yeah, but if you're a 16-year-old boy, what do you got to lose?
And there's a bunch of you, so you have that, like, Neanderthal group thing.
I mean, worst happens, she tells you to fuck off, which she did, or...
And they giggle and walk away.
Or you see boobs. As a 16-year-old boy, it's not really a bad proposition. I mean, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna..." I'm like, I'm just saying.
It's like, you'd hope they would be raised better than that, but I can see how that could be a win-win.
Yeah.
Either I get a joke or a boob.
Yeah,
look,
you're with your friends. The testosterone's raging.
Of course. I mean, I would not appreciate having 16-year-olds say that to me.
Of course not.
Even when I was 19 and there would be something to look at. But the thing was that she just decided to paint with a large brush that town is forever verboten because a couple of hormonal 16-year-olds said, "Show us your tits."
More or less.
Oh, God.
So then, like, yeah, so I'm like, oh, well, that didn't land. I'm just, like, thinking in my head, well, that didn't go well.
Did the whole family make this, like, disgusted, like, oh.
But the other creeps are, I know, are fucking creepier than me, turned on me. Hello, Joe.
One of your shows?
No, we'll get there. We got shows
did
to talk.
Did you have to walk in when he's saying the other creeps?
I was good. See, this time she did it. I didn't even make mention that I said the other creeps and you walked in. She did it that
usually
time.
Usually he turns that right on you, but I was like, you poor thing. It's like, you can't even kind of...
But I didn't. I was...
Why do I feel like I've come home to my old parents? You're not... You did. Like, ciao.
Well, maybe you've been a creep your whole life.
This is a nice shirt.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
so much.
Not stopping the show for his latest from the Platsky
collection.
Check
your face. $7 at Marshall's.
And it's a Platsky shirt.
I know, but yet we get our own shirts and they'll put the emblems on it.
Isn't that nice? They label you like cattle.
Yeah. Hey, the other option is wearing a tie, so I'm not wearing a tie.
No, it's really nice.
Why is it a tie or the name of the company?
Because basically what it was is my boss, when he first started working, because the owner of the company, Platsky, was his father-in-law. So he went to go to one of the customers to get an order. He wouldn't give it to him because he wasn't wearing a tie. So he went back, and he was wearing a tie, and he got an order. So forever and ever, we all had to wear ties. Everybody on the inside and the outside has to wear a tie.
This is like the Yankees, and you can't grow a beard.
Right.
But the thing about it...
Forever.
They should get Platsky on their uniform, then they can grow beards.
Funny. But the thing about it was, is that you would wear a tie. We're working a desk. My would ruin ties on my desk. I'd have to put tape.
Because you're an animal.
No, I'm not an animal. The desk would chip
away. Yes, you are. That's why I'm a blind.
But it would chip away. You
would
know,
this
chip
be an
away
awkward
everyone
moment to mention that Joe's girl says hi?
Hi.
She'll say he's an animal, too. You got to see the tarp we have when we're together.
Oh, Jesus. Pick my eyes.
It's okay. It says Platsky.
But I was bummed one time because I had a nice, beautiful American flag tie that I bought in Washington.
You're a patriot.
Yeah, it was a really nice American
flag. Was it
flag
made in
tie.
China?
I didn't know. China. But it was, but and then I was wearing, I guess, it ruined that. It ruined about five ties. So I was, you know, over the years, I was getting pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they kind of made it, people were starting to get sick and tired of it. So they made a deal. They said, "Look, if we got shirts that said Platsky on it, you don't have to wear a tie. You got to buy your own shirts." But hey, deal.
Yeah.
So I went out and I got
some shrewd negotiations over Team Platsky.
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love to be able to pick out my own clothes and just, like, be able to put an emblem on them and done. That's me.
Then everyone would know where you work and you can't have that. But anyway, back to my story.
At least not here. Stop reading my shirt, goddammit.
I gave you a shirt with our name on it.
Oh, I know, and I wear that.
Good. Okay, good. Mm. Joe says it's going to go up in a frame in the new place.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Yeah, we're going to end on a happy shit. Because Pip's not happy and I'm not happy.
Well, yeah, I kind of got a preview from Joe's girl in a way.
Yeah, she was like, oh, no, it's not good.
Circle the block.
Because I'm like,
we're going to end on happy shit. We'll get to you. You got good news. Me and Pip, not so much. Well, we'll go to break on happy stuff.
All right.
Because we know there's more misery in your future. But yeah.
Well, it's a good story.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I mean,
all right. Karate.
This show is an insane asylum. You know, it's like
it's the most insane part of your life. What are you talking about?
This is where you come to get grounded. Are
exactly.
You kidding
me? Seriously.
I'm that in the club. Yeah.
Right, so yep. Shush up. So on some
and time with Joe's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I said yeah.
All right.
I said yes.
So what happened next?
I'd like to continue.
Where are you?
Fucking right here.
No, stupid. Where were you in the story?
I just walked in. He's at Rosh Hashanah dinner with the family.
And I made a bad impression. I was having a bad impression.
And my first impression is it was like a hell gig. Maybe.
You're telling the story.
Oh, I wish we were on Carrie's. We had a cat. The look on your face was fucking priceless.
It's like, oh, I thought he was talking about a hell gig. It's a family dinner.
And he just go.
Well.
Nobody bought merch.
He's trying to figure out what the difference is.
I'm selling yarmulkes with Davin's Den on it. Maybe I should sell Platsky yarmulkes. I don't know.
Jewish firm, you probably could.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So strike one. And I told you they asked about the radio show, and I really didn't want to talk about the radio show.
How's it going?
I don't know.
Let's not go there.
No, we nationally syndicate. I don't know how long we're going to be there. I don't know. I'm working on things.
Well, what towns you at? We're in these towns sometimes.
I go, your son can hear us. You know, we're in Pittsburgh, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's next. I was telling Pip, you know, they all, Robert Davi. Ugh. Apparently they're big fans of Moonraker or whatever villain he was.
It's like, oh, God.
Yeah. So then...
Joe is enjoying our pain a lot.
Yeah, because usually Joe's life sucks.
Yeah. I know.
He's in a good mood, and that's fine. He can enjoy it. Tune in next week when shit sucks for Joe again. But for now, everything's good. He can enjoy. He can have his moments.
Yes, please enjoy our pain.
Not out of the woods yet, but I'll get there.
True.
So then, I don't know. My brother-in-law is doing some Indian voice because the new girl mentioned something about Indians. He's like doing some Indian act. I'm like, oh, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, oh, I work with them. I could do it. And I go, well, then you would think the impression would be a lot better.
Oh,
nothing.
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 Oh, I hate that. When you throw a line in front of civilians and it goes nowhere.
Everybody else is killing at the table. Nothing.
Oh, God. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Do you think they made a pact before you got in there? Don't laugh at his jokes.
People are killing at this table with shit. Oh. I, the professional... Nothing. And I was quiet most of the time because, you know, I don't like people, even if I know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just, a bad day of impressions. I'm like, ugh.
That's like when I'm with my family, you know, I'll throw a line and...
Those are the moments you wish me and Pip were with you.
Yeah.
They would have laughed. That was a good one.
At least it would have said, shut your face and fuck you. Yeah. At least something.
A dirty look and you would have known where you stood.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just nothing.
Yeah, you know, all right, I got a workshop.
Like, you know, he's off this weekend or really he's a comic. But no, we'll be nice. You know, you don't know.
What I was saying was like, this was a first impression with somebody that was brought. So
who's the first impression?
It's hard to explain, but I'll explain it again. No, it really is. It's
a little complicated.
It is a little complicated. The television monitor, remember from Vermont.
Right.
That sister-in-law's.
Right.
Ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How the hell do you... Never mind. Well, it's a three-hour show.
Exactly.
A three-hour show.
All right, now I want to bring up a couple of different things. First of all, I am amazed how people can watch... The same thing. Listen to the same thing. Whether it be politicians, art, whatever the hell it is. And some people will love it, and some people will think it's the worst thing ever. That still blows my mind how that happens. And as performers, we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, you know, even your favorite TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go, oh, I really love this. And somebody else go, it's a complete piece of shit. Not too many people are like, well, you know, it's subjective. It's not for me. But it's very black and white to a lot of people, which always blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even with Trump, Clinton, you know, if you want to go there. You know, you got the people like Joe who love Trump, and people even more than Joe who love Trump.
Yeah.
And you got the people who love, there are those people that love Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably not a lot, but there are those, maybe her family.
Press tells you that there's a lot.
No, they don't really. But and then you have the people that hate them. Whereas I always find myself in between. Because, you know, I go, I don't hate or love any of them, but he's the pros. So I'm always amazed by that. So sets up for this week. So I'm in South Carolina Wednesday through Saturday. I haven't played this club before. It's a tourist place, Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
My opener, who I've never worked with, a guy out of the Northeast, out of Philly. Nice enough guy. He was, like, opening by insulting the audience.
Oh, okay.
Always a weird tact.
Yeah, it usually takes you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure. He's into it.
I'm glad you weren't looking for a fight, because that's what you do. You know, for
no, I don't call whole regions stupid. I don't call them stupid. I'll call individuals
You'll
stupid.
Let them get there themselves and then comment.
Well, as always, but then I'm helping. Because I'm helping them dance to the same conclusion. I'm not calling it to them, Joe. Anybody can call somebody stupid. But to show them that they're stupid, you're doing God's work.
Well, I started my interview this morning that way. That was bad.
No. You are a bunch of dumb fuckers I don't want to work for.
But nevertheless, here's my fucking resume.
More or less. It's an interesting approach because, you know, comedy, you got to win them over. You got to get them to like you.
You got to, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really awkward when a guy from the Northeast, you know, goes up there with a Southern accent and goes, I'm fucking with you, then calls him stupid.
Slow down. Because he's from the Northeast and he goes
from
up
Philly.
He's from Philly.
Yeah.
And he goes up with a Southern accent.
Yeah. Now, I get it, because he was just on a trip of one-nighters the week before in the Southeast, and place like, and I know some of the towns he played, so I get it. I get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But wow. I always say stupid isn't a geographical thing. Stupid can be found everywhere.
That's true.
Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. But so it's kind of interesting approach. And he had moments where he had them.
Right.
But he was certainly...
You're not supposed to have moments.
They're supposed to be strung together
for
a long time.
Well, that's the thing about comedy now. We've talked about this. You have to kill all the way through.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, he had moments where he really had them. Mm-hmm. But it certainly set up an interesting dynamic.
Right.
Wednesday and Thursday, I was blown away. I actually did my material. Yeah. As opposed to dicking around with the crowd.
Huh.
Like, they've probably been browbeaten enough.
Yeah, but, you know, I the material happens every 8 years when there's a big election. gets progressively smarter. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I am writing smarter than I mean, Joey, you guys have known me forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the act is smarter than it used to be. That's just the evolution.
Oh, from the time I met you? Oh,
I was awful when you met me. Shut up, you.
Joe's just giggling.
No, but I mean, I had fart jokes and masturbation jokes and whatever. Now they're smarter.
You're pure filth.
Yes.
Crowd pleasers.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's the easy way to go.
Yeah, it is.
But I was doing the material smarter. It's topical. Feeling good about things.
Yeah.
Feeling good about things.
Why do I feel a butt coming along?
Well, because I wouldn't tell the story otherwise. You're not new here.
Is this you're feeling good or the audience was feeling good?
Everybody's feeling good. Wednesday, everything's good.
All right.
Okay.
Friday, they kind of sucked as an audience. Like, none of us really had a great set.
Hmm.
You know, it was weird. Even the waitstaff bitched about them.
Oh.
You know.
Sometimes you just get a clunker.
How many shows on Friday?
One show Friday. Because
mm-hmm.
they had a magician earlier, so we only had to do one show. So, you know, it was just kind of weird. And, you know, I even said to the owner, who's a comic, you know, because the staff is bitching him, like, oh, you know, I feel bad for you. I'm like, nobody wants to hear what the comic thinks about it. You know, this is just what we're given.
Yeah.
It's our job to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, and because, no, I get that. Nobody gives a shit about us. Because if they did, they would listen. And they don't. And the comic is always blamed, and the comic is always wrong. I've been kicked long enough to know nobody cares.
Tom wants to know if you had done another expose on Big Black Cock. Is that what happened?
Tom, actually, I'm glad you're there, because I'm going to bring up something that I know you're going to be passionate about. Not Big Black Cock. I didn't want to like welcome Tom with, I'm glad you're here for Big Black Cock. I don't know, but I'm glad Tom is here for this, because I'm going to say something that he may well disagree with me with.
Mm.
But it's... something that I felt for a while. I've brought it up before. All right. So Saturday night, we got two shows, and I just decide, okay, you know what, fuck it. And Joe and I have talked about this, and I've always been on the other side of this, but I kind of did the Joe thing where I just said to myself, raise the white flag, just get through the shit, you know, just do the easy shit, and get and Joe's
because there are nights, and there was a period, oh god, about a month and a half ago. That I just was, I wasn't softball and stuff, but I was staying away from some of the more controversial stuff that I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I just didn't feel like fighting the battle.
Yeah, yeah, and I've always yeah. been, and I've always, almost always been like, well, you know what, you gotta try. You gotta try. But I was just feeling like Saturday night, because I'll
you
come.
You wanna make it an easy night.
Yeah,
you know?
And here's what I really, settle down, Joe. I don't really have a lot of easy dumb shit. I got a few of those things in there. No, I don't, though.
He's going to pen me in before he goes.
I know.
Is,
no,
he,
like
is he chained?
The disclaimer.
Is he on his leash?
Listen, my closing bit, fucking stupid as hell. Stupid as hell. I know it. It's a dumb fucking bit.
Okay.
It's an easy bit. It's a dumb bit. I've been doing it forever.
What bit is that?
The condom thing. It's fucking stupid. I know what it is. It gets a big laugh. It needs what I need. It does what I need to do to get the fuck out of there and sell the merch.
And doesn't it segue into the merch, though?
Right. Well, yeah. No. It's the last thing I do. They all laugh. I leave.
Okay. You still do the Bonds thing?
Well, that's to get a laugh during the merch thing so it doesn't seem as long. Mm. I'm not putting that in the joke hall of fame. It's just to keep the merch moving, Joe. There's a strategy to that. But I don't have a lot of... Because like even the stuff I used to do, which I'm not doing anymore, was kind of dark and twisted.
Okay.
It wasn't easy. I still got shit like Dyke's Lumber, which is fucking stupid, which I've been doing forever. No, but I'm very self-aware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I need that shit in there because I got so... Because I'm talking about religion and race and politics and homosexuality, you know, and gun control. I have all that stuff in there. So yeah. I have to have some easy shit in there just to fucking keep everybody rounded up together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the slower members of the class have to keep to right. keep up.
Trust me. I wish I didn't have that stuff in there. I really do. I just don't. But I know I need to because not people aren't coming to see me per se.
Well, it was like with Saturday. First show was really good. Second show on Saturday, nice crowd. It was a drunk bachelorette party. Well, a drunk bachelorette, and I had to work off of her and stuff like that. And then I was starting to do some of the newer stuff about pharmaceutical companies and this, that, and the other thing. And I was going, eh. So then I came up, you know, and I'm like, all right, let me just edit till I got to like the whole divorce stuff and stuff like that. You know, the stuff that moves. You know, sometimes you got to fight that. But
the stuff
you know.
That moves. He sounded like he's at the day job.
It's a lot harder. Yeah. It's a lot. Like I do the editing too, but it's a lot harder when you got to get to 45 or an hour. Or
yeah,
something.
On the fly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot hard. It's a lot harder. And the room really wasn't conducive for great crowd work.
Oh, so then you got to keep in as much yeah. material as possible.
Yeah, and also with material, if you notice, if you get a set, you could take two. Let's say. 2 40-minute sets of material, okay? And you take it in a great room, and you will do four. You might not do some jokes because from the laughter in a really good crowd, you know, crowd, and working off a really good crowd, you know, that 45-minute set, you could have done a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take a night that's kind of and you burn through about 40, 45 minutes of material in about 35 minutes. You will in a not a great audience, you will burn through 10 minutes of material.
Because you're cutting jokes short, you're trying to figure out where to go.
Or trying to go, or you're not, you know, the laughs aren't there, so you're just trying to move it along. And you can
right.
cut, you know, 10 minutes. And that's the rough thing, because when he mentioned, you know, when you're at 40. Or,
you
because,
time yourself out.
Yeah,
you know where people are going to laugh.
You're
and it's,
blazing through yeah. shit. And especially if where stuff kills, it lays there. So you're going, all right, I got a long
cricket,
so you try to
cricket,
slow your pacing. Slow your pacing. So you could try to not burn through that 10 minutes.
And do you get nervous and start to talk a little bit faster when you can feel it like lying there?
I do, and I already talk fast, and I try to tell myself to stop it,
mm-hmm.
especially when I'm playing other regions.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, still, even all these years.
I got flustered, I'd say, with the Bachelorette comes on stage, and I'm just, I didn't.
There's just some nights where you're just not equipped to handle all the nonsense.
Yeah.
for whatever reason, you don't know it going in, but emotionally... psychologically, you're just not in the mood for it. Mm. Like, there's some nights you go along and you play with it.
Sure.
And you have fun with it and you make it a great thing.
Yeah.
And there's other nights, and you don't necessarily know it going in, but you just don't have the mental capacity and the tools to go along
sometimes
with the shenanigans.
A long ride. So you know.
Yeah, well, normal people do not have to deal with as much alcohol intake on the job site as you guys did.
And nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Right. So anyway.
Nobody's going, oh,
yeah, nobody
this might be
nobody,
getting out of control.
Yeah, nobody cares. So, yeah,
least,
it's up to you to figure out.
At least when there's
riding.
A truck backing up, it's beeping on the job site. But when you're getting run over by the truck on stage, nobody cares. They're
nobody
like,
cares.
Ha, watch it burn.
So my opening joke, you know, it's an opening joke because it's supposed to get laughs. I mean, it's usually one of your stronger jokes. So I do the, I talk about, I gave up video games, you know, because I was addicted to that one game where you drive around, have sex with all these loose women, takes place in all these different cities, blah, blah, blah. You guys know what game I'm talking about. Invariably, they say Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
That's what 9 times out of 10 or more they say, because that's the fucking game that's known for it.
Yeah.
This show, they say Life, which has happened before. But I'm like, really? Are you really doing it? Because that's wrong for two reasons. First of all, Life, never a video game. Second of all, if your life was like that, which it's not, you wouldn't be fucking hanging out with me in this club that night. It's just not that. So I lash into them that way.
Right.
But already I've made – and I try to plow through the rest of that joke. But already I now go, ugh. So
smart asses.
So on that first show Saturday, I go, fuck it. We're not doing the smart shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to – let me try to think about – well, I mean, it's all smarter, but let me think about the shit I used to do, which I haven't done in years, where I talk about being fat and I bring up the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
Not years, months. I mean, Joe bust my ball about the blow-yop, but this was a blow-yop night, Joe. I haven't done it in a long time, but this was a night for it. You know, you with the nice machine. No, it's a scumbag machine. You know? Yeah.
But if I'm doing a long set and I got to pad the set, that goes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even when I'm doing long sets and that's still not in there.
Yeah.
But on this night, I'm like, okay, we're not going to fight the – and I have a great – I have a black lady almost falling out of her chair, which is how you know you're doing well. When the black people are falling out of their chairs, or almost, you know you're having a good time.
Yes.
Right.
Really good show. First show Saturday.
Uh-oh.
It's always the get-out-of-town show.
The first show Saturday.
It's always the get-out-of-town show.
Yeah.
Second show Saturday. I have a little chat with the Vigili, you know, because he's like, no, I don't want that again, because he had a really bad show on that first show Saturday.
So what happened? Why? Because he was being nasty.
Because he was, you know, he's calling them stupid at the top, and, you know, it'll turn some people off, I guess.
How long has this guy been doing comedy?
I don't know.
Not long enough.
It's not my job. It's not my job, and I don't offer advice, because I know that backfires, unless it's asked. So,
and sometimes when it is.
That's
true.
Right.
That. True that.
So... he makes it, I guess, a little nicer. So a guy comes up to me while he's on stage. A guy with a big, thick South Carolina accent, which we haven't really had a lot of people from South Carolina, a lot of tourists.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tourists from the north for the whole week. He goes, are you Davin? I'm doing it in my voice because I'm not going to do a South Carolina accent because the other guy does impressions. I go, yeah. And I don't want to talk. The other guy's on. And when this, and he goes, oh, I can't wait to see you. This is going to be way better than this guy. Like just berating the other.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, oh, I saw you. And I'm like, have you seen me? Because like, it's like, oh, I saw your clip on YouTube. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like kind of like a weird thing. But I'm happy, you know, it's okay.
You got a fanboy.
Right, exactly. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah.
In the back. This other the comic is killing with this, like, one black guy is absolutely loving him. Like, shit that hasn't hit that big all week. This guy is loving.
That's great.
What about the rest of the audience?
But that guy is thoroughly entertained.
He's having his moments.
Yeah.
So it's a wide room. So there's the front row, then there's a second row, and there's a third row. There's other rows in between, but nobody's there. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's just the setup. So once again.
I'm sorry to interrupt. How's the front row? There was people in the front row?
Yes.
All right. You got a fighting chance.
Mm.
Right. So I open again with the Tiger Woods joke.
Mm-hmm.
And for the second show in a row, somebody goes, Life.
How old are the people in a room?
All ages.
Mm.
All ages. So it's like, ugh. So I kind of like goof on them a little bit. And that doesn't hit as big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. So I'm going through. The front row is really enjoying me.
Great.
The front row is really enjoying. I think the second row is digging me.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling love from the third row,
uh-oh,
which is kind of weird because I've never had a situation where, like, unless they all knew each other.
You have layered enjoyment.
Yes.
Well, were you doing crowd work?
I was mixing it in, mostly material. Know me with the crowd work, I'll repeat what they say.
Right, yeah. But I'm saying there might have been a disconnect when you got back to that third table.
Right,
you
well,
know?
I'll
you
get
know?
There. Yeah, mm-hmm. You might be right. So the guy from South Carolina yells something out at me during the show.
Okay.
And I go, what, dude? I go, man, I want to hear you, but I need a South Carolina to Yankee translator. I go, man, you sounded like Boomhauer. Slow down. And he laughed.
Yeah.
And he said, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm going, so then the guy, there's a guy, older guy, big orange Clemson Tiger shirt and everything.
Okay.
Turns out to be a Vietnam vet. So he's like saying, what's your watch from the 80s? I got like a fucking Casio buzzer watch. And so that they don't have to light me. And I mean, you know,
right.
Little annoying shit. I go back and forth with him a little bit. Then he goes.
We were on a GQ shoot here.
Right. I know. I know. You're so right.
Yeah, come to my pal. When yeah.
So then he goes. I don't know what led into this, but he goes. And this is where I want Tom to weigh in, if he's there.
He's here.
He. I'm going to put a red dot on your head. That's
a
gun.
Yeah, I know what that meant.
I go, are you packing right now?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. I go, okay, you need to chill. I think you're having a flashback. Now, I want to stop it right here. Because
No, you're not.
I wish you could see the look on Joe's face, like, oh shit!
Because this is what I know.
Did he shoot you?
No. Yes. Stupid. With his love gun. This is where because we've had this argument before, and I know Tom is always very pro gun. I understand Tom's view on that.
Right.
But this is my fear, and this is what we encounter, and this inhibits me.
Mm-hmm.
Because with today's fucking reality,
yeah.
We're on our own as it is up there.
Yeah.
There's no metal detectors coming into these clubs.
No.
And I always say, well, they're a good gun owner until they're a bad gun owner.
Yes.
Because we don't know. Everybody's responsible until they're not.
Right.
That's the problem with this shit. And it just puts me, the performer, in a very awkward situation. And this guy's a Vietnam vet. I don't know what he's fucking seen or hasn't seen. But even if he isn't a Vietnam vet, because most people go, well, he's a vet. He should be able to carry a gun. I get it. But this is why I don't like guns at the clubs.
Right.
Because it fucks shit up. I can't do my job if I don't know. It's bad enough we might get attacked.
Wait, you want everybody frisked when they come in?
No, I want a metal detector. I want a metal detector.
Well, I mean, the whole idea.
And I don't have problems with that at malls either. If we're going to have a gun society, if that's what we've decided as a society, we're going to have, and that's fine. If that's what we're going to have, I want metal detectors.
Tom says he could have gone to jail for that unless he has a badge. He's not allowed to carry anywhere on Broadway at the beach, especially
that's where
in
the club is, Tom.
Especially in the Carolina Comedy Club.
Right, and I get that, and I understand what Tom's saying.
Right,
but as Tom will, as they'll always tell me, well, the bad guys break. The bad guys don't follow laws.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying this guy's a bad guy.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, he's not supposed to do it, but he did, or at least he told me he did.
And say that all of a sudden. Because, ha-ha, we're just having fun with the comedian. A laser light shows up on your forehead.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Did a laser light show up on your forehead?
No, it did not. But it does give me pause in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a different world.
That would scare the crap out of me.
Right, and it scares the crap out of me. It's like when people go, you're anti-gun. No, I'm not anti-gun.
I wouldn't give a shit.
You don't play the places I play, Joe.
There's a reason.
Yes, and they have come to a mutual agreement on that. No, but I mean, listen. I try. You play in the New York tri-state area. It's a little different here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little not that we don't have crazy people. We do, but it's a different type of thing.
Yeah. Well, Tom says even off-duty MBPD have to check their weapons with security.
I understand. Mm-hmm. My point is there is no security.
No.
And you know, even
it's you and the potential Vietnam vet with a gun.
There's
situation.
There's no bouncers there.
No.
I mean, most clubs don't have bouncers. I mean, some of them do.
Yeah.
But they're not checking for guns. I don't think I've ever played a club where they're checking for guns.
See, you know what? There's some shit that's just not funny.
Right.
Threatening my life while I'm vulnerable here, this isn't cute. You know?
Right. And it's my job to make, like when Tom was there for the KKK thing, to make the joke and move on.
Right.
But this is even more serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I do that. All right. So that's my point. I think, and I've said it before, if we're going to have guns in this society, and I get that, that's what a good portion of society wants, I'm not going to tell you shouldn't have a gun. I'm just going to say you shouldn't. If we're going to have guns, we need to have some checks. Because I can't do my job to entertain and be carefree and think on my feet.
Right.
If people are drinking, it might have guns. Whether they should have them or not. It's just true.
It's
Mr. Lincoln, we get it.
Well, if they had TSA there, Lincoln would be alive right now.
Tom says, trust me, security is there, plain clothed and uniformed. That might be true, but...
No, he's right. The security's on Broadway and the whole complex.
Yeah.
No, Tom's right about that, but not at the club.
Yeah.
They're patrolling around, but nobody at the door of the club.
But he says, but I get what you're saying, Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a really scary moment.
Right.
I'm
and it's happened
that.
Before.
Mm.
You know, people say, they think they're being funny.
Yeah.
But as we're progressing through time, It's not funny anymore.
I'm sorry, John Lennon, his biggest fan, killed him. You know what?
Yeah, but not during a concert.
No, no. He asked him for an autograph in front of his house, and then later he ends up shooting him dead.
Right.
Performers are vulnerable,
right.
And then when you have somebody... Now, this guy didn't say, hey, I'm about to shoot you. This guy said, hey, I'm going to put a mark on your head. That's like, and let's not get into the 9/11 version of it, but that's a terroristic threat, quote unquote.
It is.
You know, and
it is.
Like, that's,
you know, Tom's right. I probably could have pressed charges if I wanted to.
I think you're over exaggerating, to tell you the truth.
Really?
You make it sound like you were performing in denying. Relax.
What?
All right. It was these Yahoos are all like that. Cut it out.
What are you talking about?
How many people?
Oh, you have this whole scenario. How dangerous the world. We have to do something. And
what?
We have the right to protect ourselves. The guy has a gun in there. Okay.
He's not supposed to.
Well, you want to know something? He's not going to pull a gun on you. Relax. Okay. If your act is that kind of an act where you have to worry about that, maybe. You should change it.
Yeah, I don't know.
What?
What?
All right, so we don't have like Lenny Bruce. We don't have Stanhope. We don't have Carlin.
If it concerns you, change your act. If it doesn't, keep doing it.
Wait a minute. You're making it
you
okay
guys
for get the
you
guy
guys are getting
him?
Oh, please relax. You make it sound like he had him at gunpoint. He made a stupid fucking comment. Don't you understand how these Yahoos are? I mean, really? Jesus
Christ.
But
me saying I'm going to shoot you in the head means nothing because I'm not packing.
Oh, believe me. I've been around enough mental patients with guns. They're not going to do anything.
What? Whoa. You don't read newspapers?
Turn on the news? Your own history?
They do.
You know, listen, I'm not saying this guy was going to do something. I haven't said that.
The fact that he threatened you
right.
is frightening.
Right.
He just made a stupid comment.
But he did make a stupid comment like, oh, my God, look at that cowboy hat.
Oh,
which I was not wearing.
Oh, thank God. Then he should have shot you.
Yeah, but he's not. He didn't say.
Oh,
you
the
know,
drama in this. Holy mackerel.
I'm floored.
Yeah.
Joe.
You're
I'm,
like
curb
free speech. That's he's pretty much saying curb.
Say,
I'm not
like,
saying curb
yeah,
free.
Saying
no, if
do
you
that
make
act.
You make the decision whether to
I wasn't even
material.
Talking about anything that would precipitate that from him.
It's like, but you're saying he should watch what he says.
Right.
Because if somebody
if
has a gun,
if he feels
gets
that way,
set,
then don't want to say. If you want to lead with your balls, lead with your balls.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's okay to
it's okay to threaten
you and
people.
Threaten you?
But look, you're not talking about some guy that... He made a stupid comment in a show, and you guys are getting so dramatic about it. Cut it out.
I am floored. He threatened him.
Yeah,
it was
oh,
a bad...
cut it out. Come on, he didn't...
That's a threat.
That's a stupid comment during a comedy show. Cut it out. It's not like you were hanging at the bar or something like
what's
that.
What's it make a difference?
Or there was words said. Because it's during a comedy show.
The guy...
The guy wasn't laughing when he said it.
Number one, the guy said, I'm a Vietnam
How did the
vet.
Audience react to that?
Well, I'll get there. Yeah, I don't know what they heard. But, you know...
Even Tom is saying, joking or not, Davin had the right to take it as a threat.
Yes.
That's the kind of society we live in now, Joe.
Yeah. That's the reality.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not 20 years ago. I mean, you go into a mall. We just had a school shooting. There was a school shooting the week I was there in South
yeah.
Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, people are on hand.
We have regular, you know, active shooter drills with children.
Right.
Because that's the kind of crazy society that we live in. So you can't, it's sort of like if somebody says, I'm going to kill myself, you never take that as a joke because they could mean that.
Right.
And it's if somebody says, I'm going to put a red dot on your head, you don't take that as a joke because they could mean
well,
it.
I mean, I took it as
happens.
A joke because I got nothing else I can do.
Right.
I mean, my other options are like, we need to get this guy out of here or I walk off the stage.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Right.
I plowed
kept
through.
Kept going. But, I mean, I would be shitting my pants.
You know.
Well,
I,
what was the audience reaction when he said that?
I don't know. I don't know if they heard that. I don't know if they heard.
Because he doesn't carry back to the back of the
right.
audience. You have the mic.
Right. The people in the front seem kind of shocked.
Okay.
The people in the, you know, like, whoa.
Yeah.
The people in the back, I don't know if they heard that. I think I might have said, well, you're going to put a scope on my, you're going to put a red dot on my head? I go, I don't think you mean like a Hindu. I might have said something like that. You know,
right.
I'm trying to...
Try to huddle a throw
right,
it.
Because that's
yeah.
all you can do
yeah.
as a comic. The
right.
people in the front were taken aback.
Yeah, Anonymous here says, anybody who threatens somebody needs to be put in prison. Threats like that are actually scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and Tom says, unless he followed up with, and make you work at the gas station, then it's not really a joke.
Thank you, come again. You know, yeah, if he breaks into a good Indian voice, you know, we're all having a good time.
Yes.
No, I mean, listen, we can't... We can't have that.
No,
that's not where we are in this. Like I said, it's not anti-gun.
Yeah,
it's not anti-gun. It's just you can't bring in weapons to Yankee Stadium or to Michigan State during a, because there are crazy people,
and that's where we're at. Is that it's like, oh, it's all fun and games until the one guy sneaks in and
ruins it for everybody.
That's how was the guy during the rest of the show? What was his deal? Was he disruptive? Was he loud? What was he doing?
I mean, he was like, his wife actually said he was like hard of hearing. Like, well, that explains some of this. But he really enjoyed my Trump joke. He's a Trump supporter. He enjoyed my Trump joke, and he enjoyed my Hillary joke.
Okay.
You know, but it was just a weird thing. Like I said, I'm not saying this particular guy is nuts, is a problem. I don't know this guy.
No.
It didn't escalate it, probably because I de-escalated it.
Yeah.
But it does make it hard to do the job, and it's always in the back of my head now. It's always been in the back of my head.
Because a bullet might be there.
Listen, you know, like, everybody has watched those videos where there's a crazy person that has to have their fucking McNuggets and goes completely apeshit on the person in the drive-thru. And it's like, oh, my God. Wow, that's really an entertaining video. I can't believe that one person went psycho. That's so funny. That's so cool. It's all fun and games until you're the person working the drive-thru and somebody reaches through the window and is trying to drag you out the window with
them. Yeah, I mean.
You know, it's like they're crazy. And, you know, there are crazy people everywhere now that seem to have, because there's so much of this being shown, less and less impulse control.
And we have no protection on that stage.
No.
There is not security walking around in the complex with a gun. There's no bouncers there.
It's not like the Blues Brothers where they had the big chicken wire in front. Rawhide! Yeah! You know.
It's just not like that. And I don't think the answer is, well, do fucking easy shit.
No.
Because then what's the point? What's the point? Let's all just fucking watch America's Funniest Home Videos. and, you know, the guy getting hit in the nuts with the wiffle ball bat and call it a day. I mean, if that's what we're going to do. And let's not have music that people don't like, and let's not have movies that people don't like. Let's not do any of this shit anymore.
Yeah.
Let's all be as milquetoast as possible.
Because you might, and it goes back to, because you might offend someone, and who's offended to the point where they'll shoot you?
Right, and anybody can be offended by anything.
Ugh.
You know, somebody might have died on a fucking drinking Budweiser, you know, and they're upset. I mean, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
So.
That's scary.
It was scary, and I appreciate Tom's take on that. I was kind of curious. Tom's usually reasonable, and I get where Tom comes from. Like, Tom and I have clashed on guns, but I understand his point of view.
Yeah, well,
and my point of view has never been take away all the guns.
No, it's just that if you want to be a safe gun owner, well, then part and parcel of that is that you can't play around with it. Don't point it at people.
Right.
Don't joke about pointing at people. You can't be Yosemite Sam. Yuck.
And that's the increased bravado that having a gun has. Throw that in with alcohol, which already gives you big balls to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bad combination.
My friend used to call that beer courage.
Yeah, they still call it that.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who is a very petite woman, really petite. When she gets behind a wheel and she has one of those, you know, big monster cars, she is like...
What do you mean monster cars? Is she driving Bigfoot?
Yes.
She goes over a ramp and crushes three cars.
No, I meant momster. Like, you know, one of those like SUV kind of things.
Right.
She is up on people's rear ends. Come on, move it! You know, she's very, very aggressive behind the wheel. She is like very, like almost Coke bottle spectacles, very mild-mannered clothing, and, you know, kind of plain Jane. She's a fucking animal.
There are certain triggers that set people off.
Right.
And, you know, we're all victim to it. That's why we see all these horrible things. We don't know what sets people off.
No.
There's a lot of undiagnosed mental illness.
Oh, yeah. You're sitting across from it.
Right. But we know what it is.
Yeah.
So the show is, you know, I did really well with the front row. The second row was digging it. And the third row, I didn't know. So people are filing out. And I could see this one group of people. I guess they were in, like, the third row. They didn't even talk to me.
What was up there, bud?
I don't know. And one of them even comes back and goes, oh, you're really bad or something like that. I love when people do that.
At least they didn't try to shoot you.
That's rude. Yeah.
Take what you can get.
They're rude.
Did right. the guy did the guy come up and say anything?
No, I didn't talk to him. But other people, first of all, I sold the most merch I sold all week on that show.
Wow.
Other people loved the show. Loved the show. This was great. I don't know. Were they laughing in the back? A woman came up and like gave me a big hug twice. You're adorable. I loved you. She was in the back row. She was in the back row. So it's this weird dichotomy.
What'd your fanboy say?
What
the guy who had looked you up on YouTube first?
He loved it.
Yeah,
he loved it. He goes, yeah, I think you weren't set up properly, meaning the other guy. And I'm not going to throw another comic under the bus.
Right.
You know, it's just I'm glad.
Did he bring his roommate? Was he going to bring a friend?
What are you talking about?
Last week you said the middle was going to bring his buddy.
Oh yeah. He brought yeah. But they left because they drove back that night. Oh, yeah. But the guy from South Carolina loved it.
Oh, good.
Which I was actually very concerned about. You know, somebody sees you on YouTube. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Now the pressure's on. You got to deliver.
Yeah. So I'm settling up. I'm getting paid. And I talk politics with the owner, who's also a comic. And everything, and he's a big Trump supporter. We were having a good conversation about it and everything. He goes, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes the last shows are weird, especially here. That happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, you know, we'll see you again, you know, if Trump wins, you know, something like that. So I just kind of like chuckled. I didn't really say anything to that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So I was kind of like bothered because it's not the way you want to leave. You always want to leave on the high.
Sure.
Like I would have rather had that.
The first set.
Right. But I'm like, okay. It was what it was. It was weird. So then I go on the club Facebook page today.
Mm-hmm.
And two people bitched.
Really?
They said worst show they've ever been to. Didn't like the comedians. Made fun of the South.
That was the opener.
Yeah, wasn't that the opener?
But they were lumping us both in.
Great.
And one guy was like so disrespectful to a Vietnam vet, told him to chill, and said he was having a flashback.
Did not hear the threat beforehand.
Right. Or ignored.
Yeah.
Or ignored.
I think did not hear.
So one of those people was actually friends with the girl who hugged me and loved me.
Yeah.
So even within that small group.
There was dissension?
Dissension within the rank. So the club responds to one of them, goes, oh, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, it's all subjective. We'll refund. You know, I'd hate to lose your business because you didn't like those two comics.
Right.
So I.
But it is so subjective.
It is. It is.
You give away CDs?
Did I what now?
You give away our show CDs?
Yeah.
All right.
Not to them. So I wrote the owner. I haven't heard back.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the owner. I've never done this. And I go, and he still doesn't come back to me. And I go, I go, hey man, it was good like talking politics with you. You know, I saw the comments
mm-hmm.
on your Facebook page. And I go, first of all, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you're right though. It is subjective, and you know, I did try my best. I go, as far as making fun of the South, I go, I don't make fun of the South. I don't make fun of any region.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I talk about things that have happened specifically to me.
Right.
And I explain what happened with the guy from South Carolina who I said specifically came to see me.
Right.
And he liked it. And I go, I talk about my experience in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
Alabama, Jacksonville, Florida, and New Jersey.
Yeah.
I go, and the Waffle House.
Yeah.
I go, those are, I don't blanket the South.
Right.
And I go, and as far as my as far as the military thing, I said, well, first of all, you know, I think my work experience and me donating all the time to the National Military Family Association says where I stand with that. I said, but then I said, what the guy said.
Yeah.
I said, so this is why I said that.
Yes.
Put a red scope. I go, you know, I go, he was messing with me the whole show, which is fine. But then he said this.
Put it in context.
So I go, listen, if you think I didn't do a professional job on that last show,
mm-hmm.
I will send you back X amount of money.
Wow.
Which I hate to do.
Right.
But I go, you know, I'd like to, you know, I hope we can continue working together.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I should have done that or not, because I don't want it to get back to the agency that it was a shit job.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if you should have or not. And I'm Joe could probably speak to that better because you guys work in the industry. But the thing is, I would kind of hope that they don't make you do that because from the stories you guys have told, the things that you guys will get fired from or asked or not asked back over are so ridiculously random.
Well, Tom's seen it himself.
Yeah.
Tom has been there when I've gotten the riot act for shit that didn't happen.
Right. Or that you didn't say.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, what do you think, Joe, about, you know, what he said to the owner?
It depends how much he wants to work that club again. I've told the story. I'll make it brief that there was a night at one of my home clubs that there was a rowdy crowd,
mm-hmm.
and I was emceeing the show, and you know Chris Roach, you know my buddy Chris Roach, one of the most lovable guys. He his last things when he left the stage was, "Fuck you, lady." So I had to settle everything up to walk the club. And
always a good way to leave him as opposed to opening with it.
Yeah, it's like
but you're talking about a big, lovable teddy bear of a guy. Roach, you know.
Well, maybe he should change his act so he's not put in that position where he has to tell the audience to fuck off.
You know, the crowd there. But I went up there and I started doing battle with them. And they
sometimes people are assholes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think you do. No. Sometimes the audience is assholes.
It, but sometimes, you know, there's a little too much drama. But anyway, we go out.
I'm not bringing a gun to the show.
And we had to apologize. And at first, I wouldn't apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me that I'm like, you know what? I better apologize or I've never worked these places again. Plus, I put the manager in a bad position. He wants to just get paid and get them the hell out of the place.
Yeah.
And I put him in a bit. So I went up and I said, look, I'm sorry. I made up a whole story because what I did was I was talking to Chris. I go, you know what? I better apologize. I'm gonna go walk up. And I'm going to tell them, look, my sister got diagnosed with breast cancer this week. It's been very upsetting to me and the family, and I'm just not dealing with things properly because I'm so sorry. I go, I have a fucking sister. So I go up.
When in doubt, lie.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so I go up, and I tell them that, and the woman goes, yeah, well, it's a lot, you know, nice you're telling me right now. Yeah, you decided to change this. I'm like, you bitch. But no, I'm saying that.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. So one of the women goes, well, thank you so much. So after the show, I went up to James, the manager, and I said, don't pay me tonight. Well, what do you mean? He goes, what I did on stage, because I was bringing Melvin up, Melvin George, and Melvin is a very mellow actor and stuff like that. So my job as the MC that night is to take this rowdy situation, do 5 minutes as a buffer, mellow them out, and get Melvin up there. Because you can't bring, he's a very good act, but he's cool. He's suave. You can't bring him up to a savage
to a
audience.
Riot.
To a riot, right? So I get everybody calm down. So I told James, I go, my job was on stage was to handle it that way. My job off stage, I put you in a bad position because I kind of hindered you getting paid. I don't want your money tonight. And I didn't get paid. You know, I forfeited my pay. So there's times you do that. Yeah.
Okay. And did that pay off for you? I mean, were you welcomed back there?
Yeah, I worked there all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Well, you know, I hope that that works.
Well, he hasn't gotten back to me, so I don't know if it's gonna.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should have done that. I probably should have just ignored the comments. I did not respond on Facebook to them.
No, and that was wise.
Yeah.
No, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because basically on Facebook it's going to be sour grapes.
Right.
Sour.
They're going to be, look at this fucking guy coming back at me.
And
know?
In the email, I didn't throw my the opening act under the bus.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
No, if you reacted on Facebook, basically this is something between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've made it public. You're airing dirty laundry for whatever.
Well, I also could be defending my honor.
I understand
right,
that. But
you know
but,
how petty actors look when they're on Facebook and they're arguing with like randoms that are saying nasty things to them? They look. Like,
you'd look like the asshole
on
that. So if you deal with him, look, I saw his on there looking. Blah, 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 you know.
I mean, you know, I really didn't. Listen, it was an okay show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 2/3 of the people loved it. I mean, I don't know the exact number, 2 rows.
Isn't it so unfair, though, is that you could have a night like that, or even the first set, mm-hmm. and one person has to be disgruntled, and they're the one that's like, I'm going to go to the site and talk shit.
And that's
them.
The person that, right. Now you opened up a can of worms with me, and that's the person that fucks you.
Yes.
Because you could, you know, it's like if you go to, you know, it's like you do it like a church show. And you do a church show, and you know the people go, "Oh, why don't you could curse? You could curse? No, because there's going to be that one pent up old biddy in the back that nobody likes, and she's going to complain, and it's going to screw you. No matter if the other 200 people in that room peed their pants, this frumpy old biddy it'll sink. You know, it's like you stunk through the whole way through.
Yeah, but your argument before was, well, just make it so it's so passable that everybody likes it. It's impossible to do that.
It is.
There's nothing that everybody likes. You took Cosby before all the rape stuff. It was an innocent act.
Yeah.
But there's people who didn't like Cosby. You know, if Cosby wasn't Cosby, Cosby became Cosby. But if he did that act at a club unknown, there's people that would think it's the most boring shit. There's people who still don't like Cosby.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg used
about 42
to bomb
women. Yeah,
yeah. Mitch Hedberg used to bomb all the time. Now he's looked at as a genius. I always liked Mitch Hedberg, so you can't just back off the material.
No, you really can't be asked to do that ever.
So don't
really, you know. But it's one of those things is that you can't. I mean, just in life.
I think we all deserve to be able
everybody to
walk around wherever the hell we are and not suffer threats, whether we go into the mall, the movies. That's why I said, you know, if we're going to have guns, if that's what we're going to do as a society, mm-hmm. then put up metal detectors. Because you know what? They didn't always have them at football games. But right. now every time I go to, and, you know, Tom and I went to a Tigers game together and we went through the metal detector. And, you know, Tom's a legal gun owner, I believe. And he knows he can't bring his gun
right.
to the game. That's the expectation because that's
yeah.
what we learn to live with. And I'm fine. If we're going to have this gun society,
mm-hmm.
if that's what we've decided, whether it be lobbyists or that's what the people want, so be it. I'm not going to be the one that says take away everybody's guns. I'm not saying that. But we need to put certain precautions in there to keep more people safe.
We have to have some gun-free zones.
Yes. Right. You know? And that's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the argument is, well, then we can't take it everywhere. Well, I don't know what I don't have an easy answer for that.
No.
You know, I don't have a problem with the hunter hunting.
No.
You know, it's not something I want to do. It's
no.
not something I would ever do, but I don't have a problem with that person. I don't have a problem, you know, taking their people taking their guns to the range. I don't have a problem with that. But I know if there's a shootout in a comedy club,
yeah.
First the comic gets shot.
Yeah.
And then if everybody has a gun, maybe they get the bad guy eventually. Either
you should get a gun and return fire.
No.
Oh my God. Yeah, you took out the first round.
And then you get banned for bringing a gun into the club.
yeah.
You won't get banned from returning fire.
No matter what happens.
And
you're
going to
be banned from the club or banned from life.
And you know
but
what?
You're out.
It hurts comedy. The guy that can kill you, you don't want to laugh at.
Right.
It's really hard for these very muscular guys. I mean, there's some that are very funny.
Yeah.
But it's very hard for these very tall and physically intimidating comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I have a rough time.
Yeah, you do.
<every night. laughs> It's a battle every time I go up.
No, but you take a physical specimen versus a nebbishy guy like Woody Allen.
Right.
Woody Allen was partly funny because he's not threatening.
Right.
He's, you know, so you don't really want your comics being threatening. For some reason, it affects psychologically what you're going to laugh at. I don't
sure.
have the answers for it, but you don't want you. It's harder for the comic that could kick your ass.
Well, the other thing is that they, you know, I remember reading this one psychological study, and I don't have the, you know, documentation to say where it came from. So, you know,
did you get it from Town Square?
Take the
townsquare.com.
Take this with a grain of salt. But one of the
Uncle
things,
Sam Sorbo.
she'll
yak check you.
One of the things that someone who is already mentally unstable and upset, one of the things that can be even more inciting to rage is laughing at them. Laughing
sure.
in their face, you know? So it's like if you've ever had an argument. If you've ever had an
argument.
I think
Joanne's gotten by for 20 years.
nobody has a gun. That's why you're both still alive.
One of the things is that, well, you know, if you've ever had, I was going to say, if you've ever had a personal argument and the person starts laughing at you when you're livid, that is just going to notch you
well,
up to the next step.
That's where a lot of the gun violence is. A lot of it's, you know, people you know. You get in an argument,
yeah.
your neighbor, domestic violence. That's where it
yeah,
is.
It's like, you, mother, and
it's fairly rare, regardless of the race, to kill a stranger. It usually does not happen that way. Those are the most extreme cases. It's usually you kill somebody you know, whether on purpose or by accident.
Women are usually killed by their boyfriend or husband.
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
That's what happens.
That's why the statistics are so high, where, like, there's, like when they say, well, if you're going to get a gun, you're more likely to kill yourself or a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Because either a kid gets into your gun, or
yeah.
there's a fit of rage by someone. I mean, that's why it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Because it's there.
It's just less likely you're going to kill strangers.
You're going to go
yeah,
off with what's available. I'm looking around the room right
there's
now.
There's so many things, that you could kill people. I mean, you can go into a Home Depot and grab a sledgehammer and bash some lady across the scalp in aisle 3. You know, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, right. What are we supposed to do? Not sell sledgehammers anymore?
There's a reason why everybody wants guns. They're the most efficient killer.
The element to kill somebody is always there. No matter where you go.
Yes, but I'd rather they killed me by throwing an angry a glass at me of rum than a bullet. I like my chances better when they're just pissed off.
I think you've ducked a couple of them, too.
I'm sure I have. I like my chances better when they throw their nachos at me.
You've had nachos thrown at you?
I don't know if I have. I'm just saying.
Whereas I just did, I looked around the room.
I don't identify the food as it flies past.
I don't know. I mean, usually I don't have... So, I mean, there was a gig I did with Pip where an apple was thrown at me at a biker
box. I remember that well.
Yes.
I remember it rolling down the aisle.
It didn't hit me. It hit a fat guy's belly.
Because why would bikers eat an apple? Might as well just throw it at you.
I don't know, but it bounced off a fat belly, rolled across the dirty floor, picked it up, bit it, and kept on moving.
I will never forget that moment.
I was a hero.
Yes, you were. It was hilarious.
With dysentery.
I was a hero. Because you know what?
We had to hose him down with
antiseptic. Because you know what, Joe? Yeah. I can bite an apple and move on. If I bite a billet, show's over. So tell us your news.
Well, looks like we got an offer on the house.
Thank God. That's great.
Yeah, and there's kind of a thing with it. Basically, the people that made the offer, we're trying to see if we're going to go into contract, but they accepted the offer. We agreed on a price. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a group home for the disabled is what they're going to do.
Really? It's going to be a Spectrum for Living?
I guess.
Wow.
Might as well include more like yourself there. It seems to have served you well.
Yeah, I know, because the only handicap I've had there was trying to pay the bills. So,
No. That's not the only problem we've had there.
Yes, the other handicap.
No, she's one, you're one. There's a lot. That's the right place for it. There's an aura of dealing with the handicapped in that place.
Well, originally when I got the phone call, you know, my real estate agent emailed me on Friday, and she said, well, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a group home for the handicapped. And then I thought about it, and I'm like...
It's a ranch.
I go, yeah, no, it's perfect. And then I go, I feel funny about that. You know, I don't know how the neighbors are going to react. It might bring the property values down.
If you get your price, who the fuck do you care?
Well, here's the deal. I thought about it. I talked to a couple of people. And they go, you got to do what you got to do. And my neighbors, I don't really get along with or speak to.
So you're like, fuck them.
My neighbor across the street was my mother's friend and had been a neighbor for, God, 40 years. So she's going to hit the roof. I'm going to have coffee with her and settle her down. My neighbor that lives directly across the street, they could build an ISIS training camp. I could give a shit. And the other neighbors...
Monkey bars are going up.
Yeah.
Why are you lying the tires down on the ground in that particular pattern?
You know, so I don't care. So my second thing is like, well, the town is never going to approve that. And the town and my real estate agent said, oh, yes, they are. Because if they want to do something like that in the town, well, you can't do that. Well, you're being discriminatory. Mm-hmm, and, you know, really? We're trying to build a nice home and you're going to do that? You're being discriminatory. And she goes, the town just lays down and plays dead.
I could see that.
Yeah. Also, another good thing is it's a corporation. They're buying a bunch of ranch homes, mm-hmm. planning on turning. So it's not, you know, this couple, it's our dream home and hopefully we have the money. No, it's a corporation. They got, you know, so we got our lawyer going to be speaking to their lawyer. Hopefully we go into contract, you know, we're going into contract soon. The other thing is that even though, you know, the offer has been accepted on both parties, they're still showing the house. We had somebody that came in there today with their architect, mm-hmm. and we have somebody coming tomorrow.
Good.
And yeah, that's standard. You keep on showing. You know, there's an offer on the house.
Bidding war.
That's right. Joanne was saying this. But I want to, Joanne.
Don't you dare compare me to her again.
No, I'm not. But the funny thing is, she calls me. You know, people are going to see the house tomorrow, and you made a mess. I go, I didn't make a mess. I got to put my baskets away. Well,
your
baskets? Did
you put all your eggs in them again?
Well, it's my laundry baskets. And she goes, I'm telling, oh, I told my, yeah, sorry, honey. I told my, I got what you said. Very good.
Means nothing now.
Meant nothing then. Well, but anyway.
What are you, at the fucking Rosh Hashanah dinner last night? Fuck off.
I got a gun. No, anyway.
Please, you'd shoot yourself. And I'd applaud. I could finally dust off this eulogy.
And that's the scenario. But nonetheless.
You just got this rug.
You know what's
going to
happen? He's going to sell the house, then he's going to die of a fucking heart attack.
No.
That's what's going to happen.
Shut your face.
Oh,
because
God,
the way my life goes, yeah.
Well, suddenly I'm rooting for cholesterol. Yeah.
But what the hell was that? What was I going to say?
You put your basket.
Yeah. So she goes, I told my cousin that, you know, because you think the house is already sold, you made a mess. I go, what are you?
Made a mess.
I go.
Like ripping up the wallpaper.
I go, the living room.
Joanne, I just got to put 3 laundry baskets and an ironing board away. I go, you know what? You make it sound like, well, we sold the house. I'm going to slop hogs in the living room. I go,
asshole.
They're my cousins.
Oh, now you're laughing. Welcome to the show, stupid.
I'm sorry, shit's not landing.
That's why I'm here. I catch it all.
The last time I saw a joke land like that, Sully was at the controls.
Wait, but that was a good land. Anyway.
Yeah, Joe tried. Oh, it's sad.
But
happiness makes him less funny.
Happens to the best artist. But the thing is, now take that information from where it came. I cannot spit this sentence out. But I mean, she's really not the best one to be judging who's making a mess and who's not making a mess. She has no idea how to clean a mess. She's not.
You've never been to the house. You don't know.
No. I mean, from what he's talking
house
about,
is clean.
The work. No,
when I was yeah. You had your Matchbox
spotless.
Cars all lined up on your little shelf.
No,
ready to play with.
They're all packed.
Say it ain't so. I was talking about her inability to help with the
I don't think it's an inability. I think it's a conscious choice.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got whipped into shape where, but I just march. I need you got to do this, and I got to do that clean. Like I told her, I go, you got to vacuum this rug to this one, but you got to in the bedroom. I'll do it. No, you got to do shut up. Go away.
Well, even Lisa's saying, consider the source. But she wants to also know, did you pee on the rug again?
No. But the funny thing is that we have a door in our because we had an unexpected showing last week and I go
showed up we're here
yeah
but we're the oatmeal cookies
yeah
so, this bed isn't made there's even somebody in it
well I told you no Joey I go straight yeah really so I go straighten everything up so I go you got to open up the hallway door because it sticks so make sure because I don't want people I want that already open so they don't know that it sticks
right
and I she goes I did everything except for the hallway door with my arthritis I couldn't open it I go are you shitting me? Not the door at Fort Knox. You stupid door. You just pull it.
She couldn't open the door.
She couldn't open the door.
I'm not making fun of people with arthritis. Bullshit. I call bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. It's just, it's always what she can't do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think she gave it her best effort. I don't think she was like sitting there tugging her. Wow, it's really stuck. I gave it my best.
We're still talking about a doorknob.
Yeah. Well, I guess funny. Her hand could hurt.
There's the other hand that doesn't hurt.
Well, does she have arthritis in both hands?
I don't know where she has arthritis.
You know what?
I haven't really talked to her in 2 years.
You don't good. She might have a fucking claw for all you know.
Good for you that you have, like, not only a bid, but you have other people still coming in case that falls
but
through.
But the real...
Don't worry about the neighbor across the street.
Oh,
it's
I don't
not
care
like
less.
They, yeah, it, I mean, like, those kind of homes, everybody throws their arms up and they're like, oh, property values, it's all going to be... And you know what? You hardly even notice the people coming and going from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think you would notice.
You notice, but it's like it's not like a
fucking nest across the street. You fucking notice.
It's not, no. It's not like
and
a
fucking
circus.
Jack Nicholson's fucking hobbling out. And they're all going on escapades. You kind of notice.
Let me tell you something. With between me coming home from gigs at 1 o'clock in the morning unloading gear.
Yeah, but you're the nut they know.
Yeah, and her out there unloading a car at 2:30 in the morning with the lights on.
I took stuff out of my car really late recently.
Stop the presses.
I know.
Where'd you get the high low from?
I was taking stuff out of my car, and I had them all gathered, and I was holding my keys, and that stupid red button on my key fob that is the emergency, I'm squeezing the key fob so tightly that I set it off at 2 a.m.
That happens, though.
I'm but sure my neighbors were really
they
thrilled.
They didn't know you were the asshole.
No, I ran in the house and I turned off
the
light.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that they're saying, if everything goes to plan, it's going to take 4 months to get everything done, which in the grand scheme of things, it goes really quick. So I'll be out by January or February, which is always fun to move during the fucking winter. But but the thing about it, it's like things are subtly hitting me.
Yeah.
Whereas, as you know, when you get done with a weekend, you have to sign your W-9. You sign a W-9. Some of the clubs always have you do it again. I'm like, oh, come on. But it is what it is. It's cool. I never say anything. So anyway, I got my W-9. I'm signing it and I'm writing my address. And I go, I'm on a 6-month rotation with this club. I go, I'm going to be signing a new address the next time I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it's starting to come to terms with that.
Don't worry, the IRS will find you.
I'm not hiding from the IRS. You got to say when you live somewhere for 51 years, that it's just a routine that's been there for 5 decades.
If you stay in the area code, you can keep the number.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm probably just going to get a regular non-landline.
You already have that.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that that's really very weird to have like 5 decades of sameness. I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm because of the situation I'm in at the job. I was like, well, I have a box of cards that they made for me. I tossed them in the trash. I'm like, that was a waste of printing. Mm. But you know, I mean, what am I going to do with them now?
Plants didn't even get comfortable in the new office.
I didn't even move my plants in. I'm already
the ferns are looking.
Out.
Tell us, mommy, when we can settle roots.
Yeah.
I already
this
packed it out.
I want to make friends. Sorry,
fucking
honey,
spider plank. I'm just going to hang out up here. Yeah. So you get your shit together.
The only sign of me at my in my office anymore is my cat mug and my little stapler that I brought with me. And it's like, other than that, I moved all my stuff out already. No. I'm like, dead man walking. Mm.
So the move shall begin soon enough?
Yeah, as soon as we go into contract, that's when, you know, everything gets real. I'm pre-approved for a mortgage, so that's good. You know, just trying to find the right place, because what I might do is, because I don't want to rush to find someplace.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to have to start, you know, because Joe's girl's asking me, when are you going to get moving? I go, well, pretty much when we go into contract. I'm going to start preliminary stuff.
Right.
But then the momentum starts.
You get a month to month. You get a month
yeah,
to month.
Get a month
that's
to
when
month.
I'm going to find a month to month to put stuff in storage, and I can go out because I want to find something, you know.
Tell Anthony you're moving into the basement.
Yeah, really. They don't use
might
that theater
at all. Might be an option, but I don't know if moving in the compound is a wise choice.
Somebody's got to scoop up the
you'll
cat
be
litter.
Yeah.
Dead in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
From alcohol or bullet holes?
Or Beavis,
both.
Yeah.
Beavis.
Yeah.
No, Beavis, but... no. Look at where my cat scratched me. Do you see this?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
No, no, you shouldn't let it suck your tits. All right. We're going to listen to some new news. Welcome to the show, stupid. on the break, new music from Candy, Crash, and Synth Shock with their song Sparkles. And you can learn more about them at khbmusic.de. Don't go anywhere.